mention that very serious announcement. Patrick actually pointed this out to me because we have the work day on Saturday, 10 to 1, and hopefully you can come out and help out. Got a lot of jobs, a lot of little jobs that we're going to do. But Patrick had a serious announcement. He said, "Preacher, is that Saturday? Saturday is the big Slurpee day. So after you get the work day done, you can take whatever you want, like my boys do, and go get more Slurpee than is humanly possible to consume." So, and it's all for like $1 or $2. And Patrick said he'll buy everybody 4 of them. Thank you, Patrick. Such a kind man. It's no wonder Katrina loves you, buddy. And open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. I just want to preach from my heart tonight. We have been in 1 John. We'll get back there next Wednesday. But with Awana, that's finished up, and I want to say from the bottom of my heart to everyone that had a part in Awana's, I appreciate you. I'm grateful to God for you, for those that served in the classes, for those that were subs, for those that were teachers, for those that listened to verses, for those that drove the van routes, for those that would get here early, for those that would leave late. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. And I appreciate it, and our church appreciates it. I was listening to some of the statistics that Glenn shared at the Awana program as far as awards last Wednesday night. And the kids in the Awana memorized over 2,000 verses. That's amazing. That's absolutely incredible. And I was talking to my wife not too long ago, and she said, "Honestly, babe," she said, "the verse," and even Amy, the secretary, she was saying it, that the verse memorization, she said, that takes the most time. She said, kids get there, and this is what's really cool. Both of them, they said, kids will get there, and they're so excited to tell you their memory verse. And she said, you'll get 4 or 5 or 6 of them around. They want to tell you all at once. But thank you for what you do. I know it takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of dedication to that. But again, thanks for doing that. And we've used the Awana program now for quite a few years. And again, thank you. Actually, our missionary, Mr. Stomps, who's our Awana missionary, he stopped by the other day just to check on us, say hi, and we appreciate him and all the hard work he does with the Awana ministry. But thank you, church. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your belief in that ministry. Not only that, your belief in the importance of getting the Bible into these kids. And I know you know this, but we're doing something by getting the Bible in these kids that has the ability to outlast them. I mean, to outlast us. Long when we're dead and gone, prayerfully, the Word of God in their lives will continue to show forth fruit in their life. And these are kids that will one day, no doubt, be married and have families of their own, and prayerfully be teaching their kids the Bible and getting them in church. So with all that said, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The title of tonight's message is simply, "Who's on Your List?" I guess if you were to give it a second title, you could give it something like this. It doesn't cost anything to say thank you. It doesn't cost you anything to say thank you. And when you come to the Apostle Paul's writing here to this local assembly, what Paul does, and just towards the end of this chapter, he says thank you. He says thank you to quite a few people, and he mentions them by name. And we're going to kind of look at them and maybe add some thought to maybe why, he was saying thankful for them. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start of reading in verse 8. Of course, he's talked about giving in the earlier verses of chapter 16. It's tremendous illustration there. But really what he does now is he transitions in to appreciation. He has appreciation for people. Are you thankful for people? Are you really thankful? Are you thankful for people? And what I hope to do tonight is kind of get us all to think and really get us all to be intentional in our thought process as far as the people that you're thankful for, that maybe you haven't said thank you in a while. Maybe, and I'll be honest, I'm just being transparent. Sometimes, I try to be intentional in that. I try to be very intentional in telling people thank you. But sometimes I slack in that area, and I want to be better at it because it's important. I think, I've said to you for years that encouragement goes a long way. Can I get a witness? It goes a long way. You know, it goes a long way in people's lives. And you never know how God can use you by simply saying thank you or encouraging somebody for what they do. You never know how much that's a shot in the arm to them. In verse 8 of our text of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul writes, he says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." And then he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come," he starts listing names now. He's closing this letter. He's bringing this letter to a close. And I'll be honest with you, this wasn't the easiest letter to write. This was a church that was a mess. This was a church that had a lot of problems in it. This was a church that had a lot of sin in it. They were confused on a lot of doctrine. They were confused on spiritual gifts. They were prideful. They were, you know, they had different camps. You know, Apollos baptized me and Paul baptized, and the list went on and on and on. And, you know, but Paul writes a letter to give them instruction and really hopefully, prayerfully bring them back to the proper local assembly, if you will, to, you know, as far as things done decently and in order, as he stated in the earlier chapters here. But now he starts listing names. He says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos," here's another name, "I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time." Then he kind of transitions a little bit just for a couple of verses here, and he gives them some instruction. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity." He mentions that again. He's given a whole chapter in chapter 13, and he ends this letter by mentioning charity again. "Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house," and he mentions another name, Stephanas, "that it is the first fruits of Achaia." And notice what it says about them. "And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied." Look at verse 18. I love verse 18. "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask now, God, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that he'll be our guide. I pray tonight, Father, that you'll use this message to encourage the hearts of your people. For those watching by internet, Lord, I ask that you'll use it to encourage them. And God, we thank you for the privilege we have of not only serving you, we thank you for the privilege that we have of serving you with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I'm grateful that we serve together here and we don't serve alone. And Father, that means a lot to us, and we're grateful for that. And there are many people in this room that, as Paul mentions here, that have refreshed my spirit and my family spirit and the spirit of this church. So, Father, we praise you. Help us as we preach, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to just these names. We're going to look at these names tonight. I think it's interesting and I think it's important that if the Apostle Paul, in the inspiration of the Spirit of God, felt it necessary and felt inspired to mention these names, I think it's important that we kind of look at them, that we kind of take a look at these names. And Paul's, it's phenomenal, it's fascinating to me that these names were forever inked in the pages of God's Holy Bible. It was as if the Lord Jesus Christ wanted all of us to know these people by name and understand their devotion, their dedication, their youthfulness, their faithfulness,
their encouragement. God wants us to look at them and what they meant to Paul. And I think what you could do, and what I've tried to do in my mind as preparing this, and what I've tried to do in my mind as I even sat on this second pew tonight thinking about this and processing this, I've got people like this in my life. They may not be named Timotheus. They may not be named some of these names, but they're the type of person. There's many, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God that there's many people in my life that not only mean the world to me, they mean the world to Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And we're a better church because of their ministry. We're a better church because of their sacrifice and their service here. And we're a better church because of their faithfulness. And I'm grateful to God that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed them here. So he mentions Timothy. He wants us to remember Timothy. Again, these are just simply, this is words of appreciation. He's very thankful for people. He's very thankful. Paul was a very secure leader. He was secure in his leadership, and we see this by mentioning the name Timotheus here. In verse 10, we see this secure leader. He says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear." Now it's interesting when you look in the writings that Paul wrote to Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy for a minute. Just turn to the right in your Bible, and I want you to see the Apostle Paul had much to say to this young preacher. Interestingly enough, when you look at the writings of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul was constantly encouraging Timothy. He was constantly speaking courage into his life. He was a man, you know, scholars believe that he was a man that was very timid. He had a lot of fear in his life. That's why Paul, I think he wrote to Timothy, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a power and of love and of a sound mind. And Paul was constantly, he told Timothy, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Of course, he's referenced there of wine for medicinal purposes only, and we know that. But Paul was, you know, he was constantly encouraging this young preacher. And you come now to chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. It's almost, he basically says the same thing to Timothy that he's just said to the church at Corinth. He said to the church at Corinth, he says, that he may be with you without fear. As a young preacher, a church can be a scary place. You know that? As a young preacher, a church can be a scary place. Church people are scary people sometimes, and you're a young preacher. I'm telling you, it can be. And we've all been there. I've been there as a young preacher. I remember when I was first called the pastor, Westview Baptist Church. I was 23 years old. You know that testimony. You know my story. I tease about it. But it was there I had my first encounter with a mean church member. Now, we have no mean church members. I'm talking about that other church. But it was there I had my first. We've never had mean church members, have we, Bonnie? but it was there that I ran into my first church member, a mean church member. And I remember Brother Morton, and I was fearful, man. I was a little timid. I was a little nervous. I'm thinking, man, you know, this person has been, you know, they've been a Christian twice as long as I've been alive. You know what I mean? It's kind of the spirit that I had. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, in my spirit, I thought, here's what I'm going to do. And I remember calling my pastor. I called Brother Morton. I remember saying to Brother Morton, I said, Brother Morton, what do I do about this situation? And I was telling him, and man, I was 23. I was letting that person have it in my spirit and in my mind. And I was telling Brother Morton about it. I'll never forget it. He stopped me. He said, oh, wait. He said, Tracy, he said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. He said, you love that person to Jesus. I'm like, put Mrs. Morton on the phone. That's what I felt like telling him, right? Put Sister Morton on the phone. I know Mrs. Morton to take my side. But I didn't do that, and I was grateful to God that the Lord used that wisdom in my pastor to really pour into me. And I was fearful. I was a nervous wreck. So I understand that. I understand from a ministry standpoint as a preacher why Paul would say that to that young pastor, why he would say to the church at Corinth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being, let's flesh it out in your mind, knowing a little bit about the backdrop of 1 Corinthians and the church at Corinth. Can you imagine Timothy walking into that church? Can you imagine him as a young preacher walking into a church that is messed up on spiritual gifts? Can you see it? Can you picture in your mind? I try to do that. I try to picture in my mind. Timothy, can you imagine him preach? And he's preaching, all of a sudden the lady jumps up here and the guy jumps up here and they're hooping and they're hollering. Westview Baptist, my first church. Man, so many things happened there. So many funny stories. We had a lady, she's with the Lord now. Mrs. Hall was her name. And she attended, for those that don't know what, I want to say she attended a Primitive Baptist church. But she would come and visit our church. She was a neighbor of Joe and Judy. My in-laws, Leslie, grew up as a little girl. She would go to her house, and she was the grandmother of the community around that area. And Mrs. Hall would come, and she would get happy. You'd have to be, I'm telling you, she'd get happy. And I remember one time, my friend was there, Ronnie Warner. Some of you remember Ronnie. Ronnie Warner was there, and he was preaching for me that night. And I said to him, I said, Ronnie, I said, listen. I said, Mrs. Hall is here. And I said, Ronnie, I'm just warning you. You might want to kind of stay, because he was like me. He likes to walk around when he preaches. I said, you may want to kind of tone it down just a little bit. I said, because Mrs. Hall loves to testify. And I quote, Ronnie looks right at me. He says, I ain't ever met a woman I can't out-preach, brother. I said, okay, help yourself. So he gets preaching. And Pat, he would go second pew, and he'd come back. And he's preaching, man. He's shucking the corn. Third row, come back. And I'm thinking the whole time, oh, Lord have mercy. He's getting happy. And I could hear Mrs. Hall. She's making little noises. And he got about four or five rows back. And as soon as he did, I promise you, as soon as he did, she jumps up. And she said, woo! She squalled. She says, I can't hold my peace. And she starts clapping her hands, and she's going in a circle as fast as she could go, screaming and hollering and testifying. Ronnie stopped like a deer in the headlights. He's a young preacher like me. He stops like a deer in the headlights, and he looks at her, and he goes, thank you. And he walked back to the pulpit, and he never moved from the pulpit the rest of the sermon. So after the service, I went up to him. I said, never met a woman you couldn't out-preach, huh, brother? The church can be a scary place for a young preacher, and I can understand this. I can understand this as the Apostle Paul is pouring into Timothy and encouraging him. The church had a responsibility. And by the way, let me say this, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I am so grateful to God how you all are with men of God, how you all welcome preachers and evangelists and missionaries. And you love them. You love them unconditionally. You welcome them with open arms. And that says a lot about your spiritual maturity, but it also says a lot about your spirit, is understanding that they have the call of God in their life. If a man has a call of God on their life, they're special as far as in the Lord's work. And we love that, and we're thankful to God for that. And the Lord Jesus has gifted us and blessed us with preachers in this church, to which we're thankful for. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks into this young preacher's heart. He speaks into Timothy's heart about this. And look what he says in verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul says to Timothy. So in 1 Corinthians, he tells the church. But now Paul says it to Timothy. Paul says to this young preacher, let no man, verse 12 of chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Boy, those are a lot. Those are tremendous words of wisdom from this young pastor. To any preacher, to any pastor, preacher, young preacher, old preacher, doesn't matter. What great advice that Paul gives to this young preacher here. Let be an example. He says, but be thou an example of the believers in your word, in your conversation, in your charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, he's talking about the Bible, to exhortation, that's encouragement, to doctrine. So Paul had much to say to this young preacher. Look at verse 16 of the same text. He said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now go back to 1 Corinthians, and we'll just continue on in our passage here. The Apostle Paul was grateful for Timothy. Why would he say, listen, let no man despise you. Be an example. You know, as a pastor, Emmanuel here, aren't you thankful for our youth? Aren't you grateful for our young people? Aren't you grateful for our youth in this church? Thank you, Brother Bill. Let me try that again. Aren't you grateful for the young people in our church? Aren't you thankful for their youth? Aren't you thankful for their spirit? You say, yeah, but preacher, man, they go 100 miles an hour. Yeah, you used to and I used to, right? Remember that? But aren't you grateful for the youth? I'm thankful for them. I mean that. I'm thankful for the youth of our church and how they step in. And here's what I know. On Saturday, we'll have a work day here, and a lot of our teenagers will be here. They show up every time they can. People that move, I know they've helped Marcy and Brother Randy over in the past moving, and Brad is moving on Saturday. We're trying to, you know, coordinate that and get some kids to help him move. And you know what I mean? But their willing spirit and the youth that they have, and we're grateful, we're thankful for the youth. I was talking to Brother Jeff the other day, and we were talking about the college and career kids in our church, and he told me, he said, Brother Tracy, he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, there are churches, this is Jeff Fain saying this, he said, there are churches, Pat, to encourage you and Amy, he said, there are churches that are 400 and 500 that don't have the amount of college-age kids that you all have. He said, you got a good group of college-age kids. I said, yeah, amen. And I said, I'm grateful, and I'll say this to Pat and Amy, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful that they jumped in there. And when the Archbishops left, we didn't miss a beat. Pat and Amy jumped right in there, and to love these kids and encourage these kids and teach them and be there for them and planning events for them and just all kinds of stuff, just getting into their life. And we're confident. We really are. We're confident. We truly believe that God's going to grow that class even more, and we really truly believe that. So I say thank you to them. I say thank you to everyone that was involved in the teen conference. Thank you to everybody that jumped in. Thank you to everybody that stepped in to the Awana program when things went down like they did. And, you know, there's a lot of holes. But I'll be honest with you, one of the blessings as a pastor, one of the blessings was, yes, I know that there was some craziness, and I know that there was some, you know, uncertainty, and what in the world are we going to do? But you know what? The kids never knew any of that. The kids never knew any of that. Matter of fact, the kids never missed a beat, as we say. They never knew any of that. They came. They would come. They were faithful. We had a tremendous crowd. We had tremendous crowds, continuation as far as of the Awana program. You say, preacher, I know, but man, isn't it good that it's over? Well, I know we get a respite, right? We get, you know, we give you the summer off just to get you some sleep under you so that we can launch another time in the fall. But thank you to everybody. Thank you to my secretary, Amy, who, man, was really a rock in the last couple of months with a lot of the changes and, you know, just seeing to it that things were ordered. And, you know, she I was at the office yesterday morning and yesterday, and she was like, well, UPS. I said, that's UPS. He goes, yeah, they're bringing another Awana award that we were able to get and everything. So, but again, you know, thank you to Amy, and thank you to so many that jumped in there and stepped in there and are willing to help and willing to step in the classes for Ashley and Naomi. I know Erica has helped out with some of the Awana classes, and so many people, and I'm not trying to miss anybody here. I know looking in the back there, the ladies back there, Karen and Becky and Heather and all of you guys, Brother Stacy, did you hear Brother Stacy's going to be taking over the fourth grade class upstairs? We prayed over him. We laid hands on him. We put a flight jacket on him, a protective vest, right? I appreciate that about Brother Stacy. I said, Brother Stacy, Danny came to me with it. He said, Pastor, he said, what would you feel about Brother Stacy? I was like, great idea. I said, that's a fantastic idea. I love that. I said, see if he'll do it. And he did it, man. I appreciate that. We're thankful for that. And I said to him, I said, Stacy, man, I'm so excited. And he looked at me. You know, Stacy, he's a man of 1,000 words a minute. And he said to me, he's like, Pastor, we'll see. I said, no, you'll do great. I said, I'm confident you'll do great. And the boys love him. But again, man, it's such a blessing. It's such a joy. I appreciate Bill and Bonnie. And I'm trying not to leave anyone out, but I do appreciate Bill and Bonnie did you hear a rumor on the street that they retired from VBS? That was the shortest retirement in the history of a VBS director. But when Paul Sargent left, who was going to kind of head it up this year, immediately. Matter of fact, Bonnie wasn't even around. Bill says to me in my office, he said, Preacher, don't worry about VBS. He said, we'll do it again. He said, we'll do it. Me and Bonnie will take it. We'll do it. I was like, great. You tell Bonnie, right? No, and I do. I appreciate them. They've done it for years. And they've done a fantastic job. And we're looking forward to doing it this year. And the theme of hospital for hurting hearts, and it's just a tremendous thing. Tracy Fleming, who's been through a lot with her surgery, but man, she's healed up, and she's jumped right back in there with the Welcome Center and Buttercup back there, who's a right hand to me and is constantly reminding me of things, and jumped in there with Awanas, and she jumped into the Sparks. Whew. See, I know a lot about Awana. Aren't you proud of me? Now, I appreciate her jumping in there. And so many people that jumped in. And I'll be honest, I'm thankful for the Bougie family who God's added, just added this past Sunday. We're going to plug them in soon and getting them involved in ministry. They've been coming for a couple months now. And I appreciate their heart. And I used an illustration Sunday of a couple. I said, you know, my wife and I met with, so I didn't give their name. And I want to make sure they're going to join. But anyway, no, I'm teasing. I know he's locked in because he and I are golf partners on Mondays. And this past Monday, he was praying for a new golf partner because I couldn't hit a golf ball. But that was not a place to say amen. Oh, you missed. That's a bad amen spot. But anyway. But no, they're the ones I asked Ryan. I said, hey, what is your passion? I said, what is Miss Gina's passion? And they were the ones that said to me, preacher, to be honest, you know, our passion, we've always been the kind of people that if there was a need, we just jump in that need and fill it, and that becomes our passion in ministry. I thought, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's it. That's what it is. And many of you that I've mentioned are like that. Brother Randy, our new song leader on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night, he comes to my office and says, am I leading? I said, yeah, he goes. And then he does it. He just did this tonight, Miss Marcia, and you're going to get him later. I said, yeah, you're leading tonight, Brother Andrew's upstairs. He went, whew, just like a little elementary kid does, right? You've seen your grandchildren act like that, Randy, and I'm so bad. But no, he's jumped in here, and I appreciate that. And, you know, and just the willingness to help out Miss Rhonda and Brother Glenn, who jumped in there to organize it. You know, they asked me, they said, Pastor, you know, with all the awards, so, you know, what do you have as far as with all the awards? And I promise you, here's what I did. Brother Paul had given me his file, and he gave me a zip drive, and he gave me some papers and a folder. And here's what I did. I walked into my secretary, Amy, and I said, hey, give this to Miss Rhonda. And kind of walked away, and they took it, and they ran with it, and they got it all organized. They got it all, you know, perfect. And, man, I appreciate that. I really do. You know, because here's the thing. Not to use a world's phrase, please hear my heart in this, and I'm not meaning this disrespectful in no way, shape, or form, but just hear me for a minute. The show must go on. It has to, because the Lord Jesus deserves it. Amen? The Lord Jesus deserves our best. He deserves our service and our sacrifice and our devotion. So Paul says for Timothy, he says, man, I thank God for his youthfulness. And he says to the church at Corinth, receive him without fear. Don't you scare, here's what they're saying. Don't you scare that preacher off. You receive him without fear. You let him come in and you let him get his feet under him. You let him, you know, come and serve and be a part of that body. So Paul was thankful for this young preacher. He's thankful for his youth. And I'm missing so many people tonight. Just trying to, you know, just off the top of my head, thank people. I didn't write any names down. I just really wanted it to be from my heart in that. So Paul was thankful for his youthfulness. And I said to you before, Paul was a secure leader. And one of the ways we see that, look what he says about Timothy. In verse 10, he says, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. It takes a secure leader to make that statement. You see, an insecure leader is a person that always wants the credit for everything that they do. An insecure leader is a person that always likes to tell you what they do. But Paul says, you receive Timothy because he works the work of the Lord. Like you do, I do, you know that I do. Paul says that. He says, no, but Timothy, he's just like me. He works and he does. He serves the Lord and he gives credit to this young preacher. What a tremendous example Paul was, this great warrior, this great champion for the faith. And yet he was a man. Paul was a pastor, was a preacher who took a young, scared preacher, youthful preacher, poured into him, and Timothy would go on and pastor the big city church, the church at Ephesus. What a tremendous example. So he thanked God for his youthfulness. But notice another name. Notice another name he gives us here. He tells us in verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, look at this, they have addicted themselves. We know all about addiction, don't we, in our culture? People are addicted to all kinds of things. Heroin addiction is epidemic. Epidemic heroin addiction is. We know a lot. We understand, as far as we know, the pain of addiction. And that's, you know, as far as in a bad way. But in a good way, we see Paul uses the word to use in a good connotation. He uses it in a good image. He says of Stephanas, the house of Stephanas, he says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So Stephanas and the house of Stephanas, he mentions some more names in verse 16, 17. He said that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Verse 17, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. Notice what he says about him in verse 17. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Then he says about him in verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and your spirit. That's what he's saying. The house of Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, he said they have refreshed my spirit, your spirit. Aren't you thankful for people that are refreshing in your life? What is he thankful for? He thanks Paul. Paul says of Timothy, he's thankful for his youthfulness. But of these fellas, this house of Stephanas, he's thankful for their encouragement. If there is one thing that I've had in the last couple of months, just hear my heart. If there is one thing that I've had a plethora of, and I'm grateful to God for it, I've had a ton of encouragement. I tell you, it means the world to me. It means the world to my wife. It means the world to us. Of the encouragement that y'all have done. And as a pastor, it's been phenomenal. Well, here's what's been really cool. What's been really pretty awesome is to see people that now have kind of jumped into spots that they weren't serving before. And now they're serving in capacities that I know they had no idea they would ever be doing. Miss Marsha jumped in and helped Miss Betty's class and, you know, with those kids. And you know what? That's what it takes to build a great church. What it takes to build a great church is for people, hear me, for people that when they see a need, they jump in it. When they see a need and they can take care of it, they jump in that need. I tell you what, that's awesome. That's a blessing of God. And I truly believe, and I say this to you all the time, and I've said it since I've been your pastor, that I really sincerely believe that our best days lie ahead of us. Not because of me as a pastor, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is not done with this church. He is not done with this church. And I really truly believe that God is going to continue. Brother Bill mentioned, I do believe that the Lord's going to continue to see people. We're going to continue to see people saved and continue to see people join and become part of the body here and serve and grow and minister. And I really believe that. Appreciate everyone that jumped in with the, as far as helping out with the bus ministries. Christy Gibson and Brother Randy, I know, has driven the bus some. And Brad and I know I mentioned Jeremy Bellinger has driven bus routes in the past. And our goal of, you say, preacher, what's the goal of the bus ministry? The goal of the bus ministry this summer is to rebuild the routes up. You know, we used to run 50, 60 kids, if not sometimes more, on the bus routes. And the numbers have dwindled. But we really believe we can build them back up. Amen? We can build them. Amen? You're like, bus route. I don't want to amen bus route. No, we're going to build them back up. I really mean that. We're going to build them up. Here's what we're seeing happen. What we're seeing happen, and there's been a kind of a transition over the years, the bus ministry, years, for years and years and years, the bus ministry only brought in little kids. Now the bus ministry brings in families. Isn't that awesome? It brings in families. And that's what we're thankful for. So he thanks these fellows for their encouragement. They refreshed his spirit. Would to God that we all understand the value and the importance of being an encourager. He mentions verse 12. I skipped Apollos. In verse 12 he says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Apollos was one that had stability. Apollos was kind of a cohort of Paul's. He was a person that really was kind of an associate of Paul's, and God used Paul and Apollos greatly. Apollos, no doubt, was a tremendous preacher of the word and expositor of the word of God. And Paul says, I'm grateful to God for him. It's as if Paul wanted us to understand. He mentions Apollos by name because of Paul, his stability in the faith. You know what I'm thankful for here at Emmanuel? I'm grateful to God for the ones that have, they're stable in their faith. That when things happen, without a doubt, without hesitation, some men and some women who are rock solid in the faith, that understands that they've served God for so many years that hey, God's still going. You just keep preaching, preacher. You just keep preaching. We'll keep praying. We'll just, you know, God's not done. And then, man, that constant encouragement and the stability that we see in many in our church. What a blessing of God. Then he mentions another one. Look at else he says. We'll kind of end with these. He goes on, verse 19. He says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. What do we know about these two? Go to Romans chapter 16. Go to Romans chapter 16. Just back up a few pages left. You're in 1 Corinthians, the book before 1 Corinthians, Romans. And I love this one. I love these names. Paul again in Romans 16 is mentioning some names here. He says in verse 3 of Romans 16, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4. This is tremendous. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. They've laid down, their own necks. Paul was grateful for them. He was grateful for these two, as he's mentioned, this couple. They were a pleasant couple. They were a sweet couple. They were loyal friends. What is it? What was kind of a thought that, a word that describes these two? I would put the word devotion. He was thankful for their devotion. They were willing to stick their necks out for Paul. Aren't you grateful for people that, let me say it like this. Aren't you grateful for people that believe in you? Amen, Pastor. But if I had a pastor that was preaching like that, I would tell him to preach another 30 minutes. Aren't you grateful for people that believe in you? Amen. Aren't you thankful for people that are willing to stick their neck out for you? Aren't you thankful for people that don't believe the nonsense, but truly know who you are? Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for people that when, you know, they say when the tough, you know, when it gets tough, you know, you really know who your friends are. You know, somebody said that a friend is somebody that walks in when everybody else walks out. I'm grateful for people like that. I'm grateful for ones like the Apostle Paul mentioned in this text. People, I'm grateful for the youth of our church. I appreciate Andrew and Rebecca, Joe and Jen, who jumped in there with both feet and are doing a fantastic job with these teens and kids, and Micah and Amanda, thankful to God for them. And so many people, so many workers that have jumped in there that are helping and serving. And again, I'm not trying to miss anyone as far as for I mean that. Not, no way, shape, or form am I trying to miss anybody. But my point is, I'm thankful for you. Miss Linda, who works on the flower beds. You don't know that Miss Linda's been working on the flower beds. I appreciate that and appreciate the willingness to do that. Always working, always helping. Those that'll be here for Saturday, work day. And my wife said, 3 hours. That's all we're asking, 3 hours. She said, no, just that's what we're doing. And we're going to do the tiles upstairs. And over there, Steve Wiggins has offered to kind of head that up. And if any of the men would like to help in that. We'll get that going and get that done, Lord willing, on Saturday. Tiles are here. Just got to do that. So everybody's welcome to come and be a part of that. It'd be from 10 to 1. But again, you know, thank you. I mean that from by my heart. So my question is, who's on your list? Who's on your list tonight? Who's on your list of people that really mean the world to you, but maybe you haven't said thank you in a while? You know, I had a blessing recently. Brother Brian Erskershoff, he wrote me a handwritten letter. When's the last time you got a handwritten letter? No, we get text messages. And by the way, you know, we get text messages and we abbreviate every little thing. Sometimes I'll get text messages and I have no idea what they're saying. I have to go to my teenage children. What's this mean, right? It means talk to you later, Dad. That's what that means. I'm like, looks like gibberish to me. But I remember Les and I were dating. We both, and I know teenagers can't believe this. Well, we used to write handwritten letters. You know why? Because you used to have to pay for long distance. Can you believe that? You used to have, and Big Rose had a $300 phone bill one time, and she was ready to kill her grandson, me. But Brian Ertz wrote a handwritten letter, and man, that meant the world to me. He said, preacher, he said, I'm so grateful for you and love you. He said, you taught me how to treat people. You taught me how to love people. And man, that means a lot. That's really encouragement. You said, pastor, yeah, but who's on your list? Who's on your list? Who are you thankful for? I encourage you this week, seek them out. Send them a, you know, give them a call. Send them a note. Send them an email. Send them a text. Just, you know, love on them. Encourage them. Let them know that you're thankful that they're in your life. Will you do that? I hope you will. The Apostle Paul was like that. He thanked people. He was so grateful and so thankful for people. Now, how do you think it was when those people heard their names read? How do you think it was like when Timothy maybe sitting in that church at Corinth and hearing his name read? How do you think it was like for Aquila and Priscilla? How do you think it was like for Apollos whenever they would hear their name? Man, I tell you, it doesn't cost anything to say thank you. I tell you what, I'm thankful for a lot of people. You know, because I know you know this, not to be a downer, but you know life is short, right? We're not promised another day. I told Leslie yesterday, I said, you know what? I said, I really miss my grandma. I really miss Big Rose. I said, I wish my kids could spend time with her now. But you know what? We don't have that. We're not given that privilege. So with that, we have to be grateful for the now. Thankful for the now. I miss Dave Conte. Man, I saw a picture the other day on Facebook, and Dave Conte was in the background. It's actually with Stacy and Rosie's wedding, and Dave was in the background playing his accordion, and there was a picture of him there. Boy, I miss Dave Conte. Never would have dreamed it would have ended like that so fast. Great, thankful for God's grace, and the Lord was gracious in, you know, the shortness of his sickness. But boy, we're never promised another day. Who's on your list? I encourage you to say thank you. Maybe you're here tonight, you do not know Christ. Maybe watching the internet, you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Sweet friend, I encourage you to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ the Lord. If you'll repent and turn your life to Christ, giving your life to Christ, he'll save you. He'll change your life. Then if that's the case, if you've trusted Christ, you need to be baptized, become part of a local church where you can serve God and really be in the ministry and under the ministry there so you can learn and be taught the scriptures and be taught how to soul win and being a witness. Maybe that's your desire, is to join Emmanuel. Maybe you desire, though, tonight, I say, pastor, I'll be honest, there's a lot of people on my list, and I need to say thank you. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe tonight you need to go across the aisle, say thank you to some people. Maybe after the service, just say thank you to some people. Thankful for their willing spirits and their willing hearts. Appreciate Brother Terry May and Aaron, their friendship. Brother Terry is a great encourager. And if you've never had him, I'm going to put a plug in for his chili. Terry May's chili is probably, outside of Buttercups, is the best I've ever had. I'm telling you. He's an encourager. Little things. I see him all the time. He cooks and he'll bring things in and he doesn't tell you. He doesn't say it. He'll bring little, you know, cook things and bring them and give them to people. So you need to put a plug in, order his chili. He's a blessing. That's a blessing. It's an encouragement to me. So many people to say thank you. Let's all stand, please, for him invitation. Brother Randy's going to come and lead us in an invitational hymn. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, I encourage you to trust him. if you're here tonight and you do know Christ, maybe you've really haven't said thank you in a while to some people that mean the world to you, I encourage you to do that. Thankful for Toby and Matea and Justin and Micah and all those that jumped in with the music ministry for the teen conference and led that. Man, what a blessing that was. And just willing to jump in there. There's so many. There's so many we could, the time would fail us, you know, to mention every name. I'm just trying to look around. So many people that are we're grateful for and we want to recognize. What's our number, Brother Randy?
Page number 449.
You come as we sing.